The last couple weeks, I kind of going back and forth about this morning and what I was going to teach on, if I was going to continue in our series in the Beatitudes or if we were going to pause for a Sunday and focus more so on Mother's Day kind of stuff. And I got to the point where I decided we're going to continue in our series on the Beatitudes, and here's why. I'm one of three sons in my household, so my mom raised three children, and I thought, blessed are the persecuted, might be very appropriate for my mom, raising three kids. I'm sure there were many days where she felt like she was one of the persecuted, but we are going to continue in our series today, and before we get there, I do just want to say to the mothers, you guys have such a great role of influence into the lives of so many people, and we want to thank you for that. And I also understand that Mother's Day is very difficult for some people that maybe would like to be mothers or have had hard relationships with theirs, and please know that we also recognize you and pray for you as well, and hope that today is a day that you're able to still walk away with some hope as you work through those dynamics in your life. We have been in this series, I think, 7 or 8 weeks now, and this will be the last week of this particular series because the next three verses all really tie together. So today we're looking at verses 10 through 12. If you're using one of the church Bibles, page 683 is where you're going to want to be, or Matthew chapter 5, verses 10 through 12. I'll give you a moment to get there. I would love for you to turn there so we can kind of read it together. So Matthew chapter 5, starting at verse 10, says, "Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." So as I read these verses weeks ago and was beginning to process today a little bit, the perfect example, obviously, of this is Jesus and what he experienced, right? He experienced the most brutal persecution of anybody. As he was heading to Jerusalem, he told his disciples again what would happen to him. In Matthew chapter 20, verse 18 and 19, he said, "We're going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be betrayed by the chief priests and the teachers of the law. They will condemn him to death. Condemn him to death. And will turn him over to the Gentiles to be mocked and flogged and crucified, and on the third day he will be raised from the dead." And even while Jesus knew what awaited him, we're told that with determination, he set towards Jerusalem. And he did this because he had come into the world to bring salvation to the world. And to do that, he needed to make atonement, not for his sins, but for my sins, for your sins, for all of earth, all of humanity's sins. And he knew that that was a part of his role, a part of his journey. For those who have a personal relationship with Jesus here today, we understand that, at least to some degree. In our heads, we know that. But I think sometimes we read the words that he was to be mocked and flogged and crucified. And sometimes we forget, or maybe we never really did truly understand how much he suffered for us. Like it just becomes something that we read over and over again, and it becomes, I hate to say it, but maybe even a little bit insignificant to us as we read through it. We just glaze right on by it. Not only was he spit on and insulted and ridiculed and mocked, but the physical torture he endured was unbelievable. How many of you have seen The Passion of Christ in here? right? A lot of us have seen that. And you understand maybe a little bit better the brutality that he endured, the persecution that he endured. The scene in the Passion where he endures the tormenting is, it's almost unbearable to watch because it's so brutal. But that is what we must understand if we are truly going to recognize the absolute love that Jesus has for us. He was willing to suffer an unbearable persecution for us. Even beyond that, after the brutality of that beating, he suffered even more. When he took the sins of the world upon his shoulders and suffered an entire world's worth of sin that caused separation from the Father upon himself. Jesus knew long before he suffered both physically suffering and suffering of our emotional of his emotional punishment that this was coming, right? He understood this when he began his ministry. He understood this as he loved people as he did ministry. He understood this as the church turned against him at the end and were all saying, crucify him. He even understood this when he wrote, when he preached the Sermon on the Mount and he said, blessed are the persecuted. We need to understand this because even as Christ has removed the suffering of separation from God that we deserve, we are still going to face suffering and persecution in this life. Even when we are doing the right thing, the things that we believe God wants us to do, we still just might endure some persecution. Jesus knew that and even wanted us to be prepared for that. So here we sit this morning, we're reading this passage, right? Blessed are those who are persecuted. Persecution sure doesn't seem part of the blessed life. We tend to think that the blessed life would include everybody liking us, not persecuting us. It's important that we understand that it is not just because people are persecuting you that makes you blessed. That's not what the verse says. If that's what you get out of the verse, you've missed a big piece of it. Because it goes on and it says, the reason that people are persecuting you is for righteousness' sake. That's an important piece. Persecution for righteousness will cause us to be blessed as followers of Jesus Christ. Not persecution for rudeness. There are many people, some people who claim to be Christians, who are just flat out offensive and rude people, and people don't like them. And they think that they are being persecuted, those individuals, and that they're going to receive blessing. I would challenge that and say the fact is they are not being persecuted because of righteousness, but because they're offensive and rude. And there's no blessing in that. But we strive to live our life for the Lord, living in the way that he wants us to, acting in love towards others, but not following the crowd. Then we're going to face persecution. And that's persecution for righteousness. This idea, as all the other Beatitudes, right, is counterintuitive to us. It doesn't make sense. We raise our children. We tell our children that doing the right thing is good for them. That if you just do the right thing, it's going to turn out well. We'll reward our children for doing the right thing. You know what? Sometimes it doesn't turn out well. We would think that doing the right thing, the thing that God wants us to do, should bring blessing, not persecution. how is persecution a blessing to us? I think just as we need to teach our kids that doing right will not always produce immediate rewards, but it's still beneficial in the long term, living righteously, living as God would have us live, will sometimes bring persecution in the short term, but will bring blessing in the long term, and certainly in eternity. Throughout Scripture, Jesus tells us that we are going to face difficult times on this earth. But we need to live in His strength and power to live the way that He wants us to, and to trust that there is a reward in eternity for that. So this morning, as we've been doing throughout this series, we're going to kind of dig a little bit deeper into this particular beatitude. And we're going to look closer at righteousness as well as some of the persecution that we might expect according to this passage. There's a couple of things that we need to understand about righteousness first. And the first one, if you're taking notes, is this. We need to understand that righteousness is received from the Lord through faith. Righteousness is received from the Lord through faith. We need to understand that we aren't getting persecuted for our own righteousness or for what we would call being self-righteous. The persecution that brings blessing is the persecution that we receive because of being in relationship and following Jesus Christ. Jesus equated being righteous and being in relationship with Him as the same thing in Matthew chapter 5, verse 10 and 11, where He says, "Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness," right? Because of righteousness. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. We receive righteousness as a gift when we enter into relationship with Jesus. The only righteousness that matters in this life is the one that comes from God through faith. Romans chapter 3, verse 20 to 22 says, "Therefore, no one will be declared righteous in his sight by observing the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of sin. But now a righteousness from God apart from law has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe." Amen. So the persecution that brings blessing is because we are in relationship with Jesus. Because we are followers of Christ and living according to His ways. Secondly, if you're taking notes, number 1B, we need to understand that this righteousness that we receive from Jesus needs to be displayed in our life through obedience. The righteousness that we receive from Jesus needs to be displayed in our lives through our obedience to Him. Righteousness is displayed in our life by us following God's desire, direction, and plan for our lives. Because we are followers of Jesus, because we are in relationship with Him, our lives are going to be transformed. They're going to be different, and we should be living them differently, intentionally, as followers of Christ. A relationship with Christ should change us if it's a true relationship with Christ. And that change should show in the way that we live our lives, the focus that we have, the purpose that we have. We are not going to be living the same lives that we did before we came into relationship with Christ. It's not possible. If we're truly in relationship with Christ, change will happen. Romans chapter 6, verse 20 talks to this. When you were slaves to sin, You were free from the control of righteousness. What benefit did you reap at that time from the things that you are now ashamed of? Those things resulted in death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves to God, now that you are in relationship with Jesus, the benefit you reap leads to holiness. And the result is eternal life. When we enter into relationship with Jesus Christ, we are set free from the control that sin once had in our lives. And we're given the ability through the power of the Holy Spirit to follow God. His Spirit works inside of us to bring conviction into our lives when we're not living how we ought to be living according to His Word. He's there to guide us to live righteously because we are no longer slaves to sin, the passage said, but slaves to God. We're followers of Christ. We are His. And the evidence of us being either slaves to sin or slaves to God, it's found in the fruit that we bear. Either the lack or abundance of. He tells us that we will recognize a tree by its fruit. We'll recognize somebody that's following Christ by their fruitfulness. Those who are in relationship with Christ have received His righteousness. They will bear fruit of righteousness. And as we bear that fruit and live in obedience to Christ, according to this scripture, we'll face some persecution. So we're going to shift gears here a little bit now. And we're going to talk about what this persecution might look like because of righteousness. First of all, Jesus talks about in verse 11. He says that Christians will be persecuted through verbal insults, right? In verse 11, for the very first part, blessed are you when people insult you. So it's saying that we're going to probably face people insulting us verbally, no matter how we respond to people, because we follow Christ. And because of this, there are going to be times that if we are following His word and speaking up for His word, that we may get called names that we don't like to be called. Right? I think it's fair to say that one of the terms that's thrown out there for Christians today is we're intolerant, right? Like Christ is the only way to heaven? Come on. Really? Christ is the only way to heaven. And Christians who believe that and will speak of that are intolerant because they believe that Christ is the only way and that there's no other way. It's not intolerant. It's due to a God that loves that we've been given a way to heaven. Without Him, we would have been lost. And I'll just say this, I believe that sometimes we face verbal insults as Christians, not for being a follower of Christ, but for the way that we communicate things to people that don't know Christ. Sometimes we do ourselves a really big disservice in regards to how we communicate stuff. I have heard people who are believers in Jesus Christ claim to be Christians, and they are just downright offensive in how they communicate sometimes. Even if what they're saying is truth, the way they choose to say it, not so wise. I just read on social media I just read a pastor that posted something this last week that I tell you I would question very strongly the wisdom in the wording of what was written. Facing persecution because we are rude brings no blessing. But standing for truth and communicating in love will bring persecution into our life, but it'll also bring the reward of blessing and eternity into our lives. And I know that for some people, the whole idea of people throwing insults at you, whatever, you got broad shoulders, it just falls off my shoulders, right? That's the way we're, sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt me. I don't know the wisdom behind that statement. I don't entirely agree with that statement because people can hurt pretty harshly with words. But moving on to the second part of verse 11, we find it's not just insults. So if you feel you're pretty strong in that area, well, then maybe the next area is how you're going to be persecuted, right? It says Christians will be persecuted through, and I'm going to use the word physical attacks. Matthew chapter 5, verse 11b. Blessed are you when people persecute you. The word that is translated for persecute is dioko. And it means to pursue in a hostile manner, to harass, to molest. This is to pursue and to cause harm, physical harm to somebody. And we haven't faced much of that in our country. We aren't too often facing physical attacks because we follow Jesus Christ or share our beliefs with people. But throughout the centuries and around the world, physical attacks have happened to people simply because they claim to be followers of Jesus and do the things that he commanded them to do. And these things that he's commanded us are not killing or hurting others. Right, that's not what he commands us to do in Scripture. But he simply commands us to share the love and the gospel of Jesus Christ with others. And the persecution for some places in this world is very real. In countries like Iran and China and Vietnam, Nigeria, Indonesia, India, Pakistan, North Korea, at least 20 other countries, physical attacks on people who claim Christianity and follow Jesus occur on a regular basis. We may not have our eyes open to it because we may not know it or see it firsthand, but it happens. When we were crying in North America 3 years ago with COVID about being the persecuted church, and you'll hear a little bit of when we were crying about that, I was hearing about a kid that grew up in my youth group that was in North Korea and been held hostage for multiple months because of sharing his faith. We were not being persecuted as a church. We need to come to grips with that. In a host of Islamic countries, it is a crime punishable by imprisonment and death to share your faith in Christ with other people. We don't experience that here often. I believe we certainly could at some point. Things are changing in our culture, in our society, and in our environment. I don't think we should be surprised. Scripture speaks of it. Peter writes in 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 and 13, he says, "Dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial that you are suffering as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice that you participate in the suffering of Christ so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed." Followers of Christ will face persecution through physical attacks. We'll also, as believers, be persecuted through false accusations. People will see what we do, people will hear what we say, and they will make false accusations about us. Matthew chapter 5, verse 11, the last part of it says, "Blessed are you when people falsely say all kinds of evil things about you because of me." Jesus faced false accusations. He was accused of subverting a nation. He was accused of opposing paying taxes to Caesar. And we too are going to face false accusations if we are following Christ. And sometimes they might be really small little things, right? But then sometimes they might be big things. They might be as small as being called a killjoy because you won't go out and get drunk because you believe that's what Scripture instructs you to not do. So you're being called a killjoy, a little false accusation, no big deal, right? While the beliefs that we hold or our actions that we take as Christians may be true, the accusations that people make against us may indeed be false. We should be striving to speak the truth of the Bible because we love people and want to encourage people to follow Christ and change behavior that is ultimately detrimental to them. Because of that, we're going to face persecution, is what this passage tells us. So doesn't this Christ life thing sound great? Right? We're going to have a table over here. You can sign up for it after service. The line will be huge. Follow Jesus and be verbally, physically attacked and falsely accused of things. We all want to sign up, right? We do. Here's why. If this is what following Christ has in store for us, we would say, well, why would I want to do that? But Matthew chapter 5 doesn't end at verse 11. It goes on to verse 12. And it says, rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. We should follow Jesus and endure persecution because righteousness brings blessings that are eternal rather than temporal. We live our lives temporal most of the time. I think it's fair to say we focus on the moment that we're in. We focus on the year ahead of us or the 5 years ahead of us. But we don't focus on the eternal nearly often enough. Living in Christ, receiving his righteousness, and living in obedience to him, while it will bring suffering and persecution now, perhaps, maybe, to some degree, it will bring blessing and reward in the eternal. When we live righteously in Christ, we're kind of saying that we're willing to forego the short-term comfort, and we're even willing to endure some suffering and some persecution, but we will receive long-term eternal blessing. Paul says in Romans chapter 8, verse 18, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. And then in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, he goes on, for our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen here and now, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporal. But what is unseen is eternal. We need to keep our eyes on the eternal, looking ahead at the reward. If you follow Christ, if you have come to receive him as your Lord and Savior, there's a good chance that if you're living your life according to his word, that you will face some persecution and suffering in this life. You may lose some relationships. You may be called some names, insulted, God forbid, physically punished. We need to be willing to forgo the short in order to focus on the eternal. Paul, in the book of Philippians, in chapter 3, Paul says, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. I press on toward the goal, meaning I press on toward eternity. I'm in this life, but I'm focused on that life. I think one of the best illustrations I've ever seen of this, and I've mentioned it in passing in different messages, but I got the illustration on video this morning. I want us to end with it. I'm going to have the worship team, if you guys want to come up and get ready, we're going to play this short video. You guys can come up while the video's playing, get ready. And then I'm just going to read our passage of focus again this morning, and we'll go right into our closing song. But I want you to listen to the words of Francis Chan in regards to the life of today versus the life of eternity and how we need to be focusing our time on that.
Imagine this rope, okay? Pretend this rope just goes on forever, okay? Now imagine that this rope is a timeline of your existence. You just exist forever. You see this red part? This would represent your time on earth. You've got a few short years here on earth, and then you've got all of eternity somewhere else. This is your existence. And what blows me away is some of you, all you think about is this red part. It's all you think about. You're consumed with this. You go, oh man, I can't wait till here. You know, I'm going to work hard. I'm going to save so I can really enjoy this part right here. And you're consumed with that. And you're thinking, oh man, am I going to get to travel? Am I going to eat well? Am I going to do this during this part? And I'm like, are you kidding me? What about this? What about this? What about all this stuff? It's crazy to me because the Bible teaches that what I do during this little red part determines how I'm going to exist for millions and millions and millions of years forever. And so why would I spend this little red part trying to make myself as comfortable as possible, enjoying myself as much as I can? Paul says, look, I'm going to live my life for this mission. I'm going to spend my life, invest my life for this moment when I cross that finish line. See, I'm going to forget about all this stuff I could enjoy, and I'm not going to look around. I'm going to be like a runner just looking at that moment when I face God, because when I face him, then I don't get this chance over again. We get one chance at this life on earth, and it can end at any second for any of us. We've got one chance at this, and then comes eternity. And I'm not going to be fooled. I'm not going to spend my life down here. See, people look at some of my decisions and go, oh, you're so stupid because that's going to really affect this. I go, no, you're stupid because that's going to affect all of this. Man, I'm serious. I look at the way people live and I go, wow, that is so crazy. You are so crazy. You're going to do that right now just to enjoy right now, not even knowing if you have tomorrow, and you think that's smart and that I'm dumb, it doesn't make any sense. Paul goes, I'm not going to look around at all this stuff. And it's tempting. It's tempting to all of us. That's what I'm saying. Down here, it's crazy because everyone lives that way. Everyone lives for the red part. No one's thinking about the millions of years afterwards. It's just this crazy deception that we can't get out of our minds. And Paul goes, I'm not doing that. He goes, I keep my eyes on that. I keep my eyes on that finish line, and I'm going to forget what's behind me. I'm not looking around. I'm straining. He goes, I'm straining forward. I'm like stretching forward for that mark. I'm going to pass this thing. I'm going to live this out, and I'm going to face him. I'm going to come before the judges, and he's going to hand me that trophy. He goes, I'm going to get it. And I haven't gotten there yet. He goes, but you better believe I'm using every muscle, exerting every bit about me, because I'm going to pass that line well.
Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness in this world, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil about you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven in eternity. For in the same way that they were persecuted, that they persecuted the prophets, I am so sorry. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Lord God, this life is but just a flash, just a blink of our eyes. And this life will have many joys in it, many triumphs, many things to celebrate. But according to your word, this life will have many difficulties, challenges, and persecution a part of it as well. Help us, Lord God, to focus on eternity and the promise that you have given us of the blessing of eternity with you. That our reward is in heaven. Help us to focus on that and not focus on the little red part of the rope that is now. To live today for you, but to focus our energies, our efforts, our desires, our hopes, our dreams on eternity. I pray this in your name. Amen.